When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit Instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Good morning to you. It is a Wednesday. It's your hump day. You've got this. Get up. Attack the day. And before you know it, you're so close to the weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for your questions for Ask Amy Anything. We get so many more questions than we are able to answer on the show every single Wednesday. Now, it's going to have to wait until I wake up on Wednesday afternoon. I haven't slept really since, on Saturday night, I guess. So I've actually slept more than 4 hours since Saturday night. So they're going to have to wait until I wake up on Wednesday afternoon. But I will answer a bunch of your questions. We actually got a new listener who is tuning in from the Dallas area. His name is Mace. And he said he recently started an overnight job last month. Been listening. Proud to say you got a new listener. That's awesome. Actually, he's in Fort Worth, excuse me. And a diehard Cowboy fan. He goes, what can I expect from you on your takes for the Cowboys? Oh, like I have to let him know how I'm going to approach my job as an analyst in the NFL, specifically as it relates to the Dallas Cowboys.
Excuse me.
Anyway, I like the question. Mace, welcome. We're glad that you found the show. We're happy to keep you company. Good to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And then our Facebook page, too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Oh, you'll be happy to know that I ventured past the spot at which I was attacked by a killer turkey. Okay, it wasn't quite that bad. But the spot that I was running 2 weeks ago where the turkey with the blue head followed me. He chased me.
I would say attacked is fair.
Yeah, he didn't quite catch me. I'm telling you, if that car hadn't honked and I hadn't turned around to kind of figure out what the car was honking at, that turkey would have tracked me down. He was running after me.
He had a goal in mind.
And he did have a goal. He was looking for a new mate. He's looking for a hen to go along with his tom. So anyway, I managed to conquer my fears and run the same route or part of this route where the turkey nearly chased me and changed my entire life. And maybe it would have been so traumatic that I never would have run again.
It's possible. A turkey attack?
A turkey attack. But I saw no signs of Tom the turkey. Maybe he's found himself a new hen and he's now happily hunkered down in his new family life. Maybe. Or maybe he's still on the prowl and I just happened to catch the stretch of sidewalk at the right time where he was unsuspecting that I would be venturing past him again.
He had to move over to a new town. He wasn't the dominant one in this one anymore.
No more Tom the turkey encounters. I survived the 11 miles, but the final 15 minutes I couldn't feel my lower half, so I'm not sure what that means. Man, those hills in my neighborhood, they're just wrong. They're wrong. Thankfully, the half marathon I'm running on Sunday is described as fast and flat. I'll take fast and flat. Well, fast is relative with me. I'll take flat anytime. And the weather is supposed to be gorgeous on Sunday. Actually going to get kind of warm. It's supposed to be up to 70 at a high, which means that when we start, gorgeous blue sky, not supposed to be any clouds. It'll be in the 50s and 60s. So I got to dress appropriately, dress accordingly. But I'm feeling as though I am trained and ready. I've just never done my longest training run on a Tuesday before a weekend half marathon. But we were washed out on Saturday and Sunday in my area, which is northern New Jersey, New York City. No breaks from the rain. It literally poured from Friday night until Sunday in the middle of the night. There were no breaks. And we're not talking thunder and lightning. We're not talking about just a few sprinkles. I would have run in that. no washout. My parts of my yard were flooded. That's how much rain we got. In fact, I heard this on the radio when I was driving in Sunday night. Parts of the New York City Metro and New Jersey ended up with 5+ inches of rain. That's how much rain there was. So wasn't able to run on the weekend. Had this bright idea that I would run in my Syracuse hotel after teaching on Monday evening. Not really considering the fact that I had 2 hours of sleep, drove 3.5 hours after meetings, taught a class, didn't get back to the hotel room until after 9, and I was starving. There was no way. There was too many playoff games I had to watch then. That was Celtics Sixers plus game 7 of Rangers and Devils. No. So Tuesday it was. I get back after driving the 3.5 hours home from Syracuse, and I just had to suck it up. And so the music was clutch. It was important for me to have music. Otherwise, I would not have been able to drag my butt through 2 hours of running. But yeah, about 15 minutes to go, I could no longer feel my lower half. It had all numbed out. I knew I was putting one foot in front of the other, but really couldn't feel anything.
I think I'm moving.
Plus, why is it in the springtime, no matter which direction I run, I'm running into the wind? Into the wind, uphill, and I can't feel my lower half. At least there was no pain. I will say that. One positive is there was no real pain. It just, it was.
Yeah, no feeling, no pain. I have no feeling, I guess, right?
I was still moving. That part I knew. So I think I'm ready for this weekend. We shall see. I have been able all night to get out of my chair, move around the newsroom. I'm not grimacing and groaning, but I can tell you on Wednesday afternoon when I wake up, oh, you know that first day after you do some kind of major athletic feat? Oh, yeah.
That hurt.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be, yes, there are going to be noises coming out of me that are only reserved for post long runs. This was the longest run I'd engaged in since my last half marathon. So in a year, I hadn't run 11 plus miles. This was the longest. I truly believe the Grand Canyon hike, 9+ miles, 4,400 feet of elevation down and then back up again. That was a good training exercise.
I think that'll do it, especially the elevation, like you're saying, walking down all that, walking back up that, mm-hmm. That adds so much.
Now, if I had run it, I'd really be a badass. No, I did not run it. There were people who actually ran by us on the way down and then back up. That's crazy. They were running over ice and snow. You could have slipped and fallen right off the side.
Is it worth it?
No. I mean, you don't have to ask me. No, definitely not worth it. But it was a great experience. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Yes, I swear at some point I'm going to share those photos from the Grand Canyon. I did start the blog post over the weekend, but just didn't have time to finish it. So whether you find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, or on our Facebook page, we're always happy to connect with you. If you're a new listener or you've been listening the entire time we've been here on CBS Sports Radio, it's always good to hear from you. We are going to do a mad blitz through this final hour and kind of re-rack what we saw on Tuesday in the playoffs. And also Aaron Rodgers is giddy. I actually am happy for him. I really am. I like this happy version of Aaron. He's gushing over his new life in New York. It's 1 week old. Was I like that 1 week into my relationship with Bob? Was I gushing? That's what it feels like to me. Aaron Rodgers got jilted. Well, in his opinion, he was jilted, betrayed, dumped, certainly underappreciated by the Green Bay Packers. And the only cure for that when you get dumped in a relationship is to find a new love. And boy, Aaron Rodgers has found himself a new lover.
Totally fine.
It's totally fine. So we'll hear from Aaron, plus Peyton Manning's advice to the New York Jets and how they can make this work with Aaron Rodgers. But Lakers and Warriors, game one of their series, this taking place at the Chase Center in Northern California. And you can imagine that the Warriors were a little bit tired. It seemed like they had heavier and heavier legs as game one wore on, though. True Warriors fashion, trailing by double figures in the fourth quarter, and you got to watch out for that run.
Curry catches from Draymond, left side, three is good. Stephen Curry gets it going. 105-98. He's now got his fifth three of the night.
Yeah, ran him off two screens that time.
Schroeder off a screen. Gets Poole on his hip, backs up into him, shoots, and he's roofed by Draymond. Klay Thompson gets the ball. Pass to Curry, a beauty. He lays it up and in. Curry goes head over heels on the layup. Draymond up the floor. Steps around Schroeder, throws out to Curry. Curry up top to Poole. 25-footer. Yes! It's a one-possession game with 2:45 to go. 11-0 one for Golden State. Curry brings it up on Schroeder. Waits. Comes middle, gets Russell as his defender on the switch. Dribbles to the paint, throws to Draymond, back to Curry, relocation, three is up, and good! He was backing away to the sideline, flipped it up and in! We are tied!
Tied at 112, that's Tim Roy on Warriors Radio, with just over 90 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. The Lakers saw their entire lead disappear, poof, up in smoke. And so there was a little extra juice for the Warriors in the fourth quarter. And that's typical of Golden State, but you could definitely tell that they were doing the best they could, but at times those legs were heavy, those feet were heavy coming off of the 7-game series against Sacramento and only having 48 hours, while the Lakers, they've got some old dudes on their roster too. The Lakers had been sitting around as chillaxing since Friday night when they didn't have to go toe-to-toe with the Grizzlies all the way through their game six. Nah, Grizzlies kind of laid down in the second half, and they ended up winning by 40.
So, I don't care. He's old.
Oh, speaking of Dylan Brooks, he may not care about LeBron James anymore, but he's got to care about finding a job because the Grizzlies are not bringing him back.
I poke bears.
You're going to have to poke them in some other city, I suppose. Anyway, Lakers had been sitting around Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Had to travel, of course, but no big deal to get up to Northern California. So they certainly had the advantage in terms of energy. But yes, that late burst by the Warriors left them tied at 112 and still everything hanging in the balance.
Minute 30 to go. Here is D'Angelo Russell to the rim, puts it up and in. Lakers by two. A stop and a score here, Michael. Could be huge for the Lakers, but they can't give up another three. That ends the 14-0 run. Here's Steph, dribbling, top of the key. Steph, still dribbling, driving down the middle, blocked by AD, taken by LeBron. LeBron on a breakaway. LeBron driving, fouled, and tackled by two different Warriors. This could be, I don't think it's a clear path foul, Michael, but.
No, it's a common foul. LeBron will go to the line for two. To put the Lakers up by two possessions.
It's 114-112. 105 remaining in the fourth. LeBron will go to the free throw line where he is 2 of 2 tonight.
John Ireland and Michael Thompson, Clay's dad, there on Lakers radio. You can imagine he's torn, certainly wanting his son to succeed, though his son has had plenty of success with the Warriors. But finally, a playoff series between the Warriors and the Lakers again. Well, Warriors and Lakers just had the play-in game, right? The series with LeBron go back to when he was with the Cavaliers. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We do love the drama at the end of playoff games. So because LeBron makes one of two free throws in his trip to the line, there are mere seconds remaining on the clock. They've got a 115-112 advantage and the ball, though. And still, the Lakers had to sweat it out.
LeBron with 35 seconds remaining in the game. Brings it into the front court. No timeout for the Lakers. They lead by three.
Score here ices the game.
Here is LeBron out near half court. LeBron one-on-one against Klay. Three-pointer by LeBron. No good. Rebound Steph. 18 seconds left. Lakers cannot give up a three. Steph's got it. He's double-teamed. They get it to Draymond. Now Poole, three for the tie. No good. Rebound Schroeder. And they tie him up. What's the call? Timeout Lakers. They gave the Lakers a timeout with 4.7 to go. And Michael, if they can inbound this and make a free throw, the Lakers are going to take game one.
That's been us since we made a
acquisitions to our new guys. We've been able to be very resilient in games. Like I said, we've been playing playoff basketball for about 2.5 months now, just trying to, you know, punch our clock in to be able to play right now in the postseason. So, you know, we've been very resilient tonight versus a team like Golden State, you know, defending champions. And we know how great they are on their home floor over the years. So to withstand that and, you know, it's another good step for our ball club.
Whew, holding off Golden State after giving up 14 straight points. The Lakers are happy to survive with the 1-0 lead in this Western Conference series. Now for Anthony Davis, he played 44 minutes the entire second half. But man, what a stat line for him. 30 points, 23 rebounds, 5 assists, block shots, and definitely there's an advantage there for Davis because of his length, because of his reach, because of his size. The Warriors generally try to go small. They feel like that gives them a good advantage, which is a four-guard lineup. Man, it's worked to the tune of 4 championships in the last decade, but Anthony Davis, well, he's a problem.
The guys just getting the ball to me in the right spots. A lot of it came off pick and roll, a couple post ups, some offensive rebounds, but you know, just being aggressive when I do catch, looking to score or looking to, you know, playmate to other guys. But it was the guards, you know, finding me early, which allowed them, you know, to play free later on in the game.
Two major disparities in this game that stand out when you're looking at the box score, or if you're watching it, it's pretty evident. The Warriors took 53 shots from beyond the arc. 53. Now, they made 21 of them, so they shot nearly 40% from deep, but 53 triples to just 25 for the Lakers. Now, the Lakers can shoot deep threes in bunches as well, but double the number of attempts and more than three times, the made threes for the Warriors, which is how they got back in this game. Something else that stands out, though, you want to talk about a disparity. 29 free throw attempts for the Lakers to just 6 for the Warriors. The Lakers certainly were the more aggressive team. And obviously, when you're shooting as many threes as the Warriors did, you're not going to get as many fouls called. That's just a principle of basketball. The Warriors weren't as aggressive. They didn't get to the hoop as much. They didn't have nearly the points in the paint. Anthony Davis is a major reason why. He disrupts a lot of the offense. He disrupts a lot of what the Warriors will want to do. And again, that's part of their game. As they swing the ball around, they find the open man on the perimeter. But 25 made free throws for the Lakers to just 5 for the Warriors. That's a 20-point difference in a game that was ultimately decided by 5 points. And so, yeah, the Warriors, A, have to clean up the turnovers. They're going to have to find some energy in those legs, but they also cannot put the Lakers on the free throw line as much as they did.
Some fouls that we didn't need to, especially in the first half, we had, I think, 3 where, on a jump shot, I think we hit Davis on a fadeaway 17-footer. I think we fouled a couple times when they were in the bonus when we didn't need to. They're going to shoot more free throws than we are. I mean, I think they were number one in the league, and we were last or next to last.
My aggressiveness on both ends of the floor, I think, I allowed the 3 fouls to kind of take me out of a rhythm and never really found it again, you know, so just got to stay out of foul trouble. It's kind of been a thing with me lately, and just got to stop fouling and defend better.
That's Draymond Green, of course, following Steve Kerr, and he did have 5 fouls. Paul also had a technical in there, too, and so that's why Draymond Green is currently trending on Twitter. A lot of tweets about Draymond always because he's a lightning rod this time of the year. So for the Lakers, heavy minutes for their starters, but on this night, because they'd had so much extra time off, it was okay. Anthony Davis plays 44 minutes, LeBron plays 40, and while he was not good he did not shoot well. 9 of 24 overall, 1 of 8 from beyond the arc, but he did have 22 points, 11 rebounds, always is a guy that you have to guard, and he's a load, right? So it's a tough defensive battle, too, for any team that's going to match up against him. So this is a this is exactly the way the Lakers wanted to start. Now, do they feel some relief because they managed to withstand that Warriors run? Sure, but this is exactly what they needed to catch the Warriors when they were tired, when they didn't have the same push, the same aggressiveness, and to grab this opener is a big deal. But I would anticipate a long series, a long series. We also had the opener of the Knicks and the Heat earlier in the week, and so game two last night, and celebs everywhere you look at Madison Square Garden. That includes one Aaron Rodgers. So we'll hear from him later in the hour. But Knicks and Heat game two, no Jimmy Butler, but reinsert Julius Randle into the Knicks equation. Good to hear from you. Good morning to you on a Wednesday hump day. It's our hump show, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Brunson to Randle, cross court, at the right wing, for Hart, right corner three, nails it! Josh Hart with the answer and the triple. He's got seven, tie game at 96. Brunson walks Knicks up the floor, half court right. Fans rise at the Garden. Brunson pull up for three, knocks it down! Brunson, little Frank the Tank action with the arms, timeout Miami. Brunson to the foul line, leaner, gets it! 30 points, Jalen Brunson with under three to go. Knicks up 101-96. Randle probing Vincent, foul line extended, down the lane. Randle, stiff arm, double to Hart, corner three.
Attention listeners.
I'm pleased to announce that Radio Rental is returning for another installment of Terrifying Tales. If you happen to be new here, I'm Terry Carnation, current proprietor of the Radio Rental Video Store, where I possess a collection of the scariest true stories you've ever heard, all told by real people. Mark your calendars for... Oh, apparently it's available right now. I'm a little late with this promo.
Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
He knocks it down. Josh Hart, arms to the sky. Another huge fourth quarter three. Knicks lead by four.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Ed Cohen on Knicks Radio. Poor guy's been nursing some laryngitis and trying to get his full range back. A lot of Knicks basketball this year, and the Garden is loud. So a lot of times as an announcer, when it's so loud that you can't hear yourself think or can't hear your partner, even through headphones. I don't know where apartment came from. It's Wednesday morning. That's what happens on the home show. You tend to raise your voice and talk more loudly. So I'm sure with the number of games that he's called to this point in a raucous Garden, it's been challenging for his voice. About 5 minutes to go in the game, the Knicks found the afterburners, were able to close out the Heat and tie the series at one game apiece. Julius Randle, only a couple assists shy of a triple-double in his return with the ankle injury. He was important, the physical nature of how he plays, and certainly he can score. He does rebound and defend. They needed him, and they needed to take advantage without Jimmy Butler playing for Miami.
Their best players out. They were kind of playing with a what do we have to lose mentality. They already got the first game. And, you know, I was telling the guys from the beginning, you know, it's going to be a battle. You know, no matter what, it's going to be a battle. And, you know, shout out to the guys. Everybody stepped up, did their part.
Jalen Brunson picked up where he left off in the opener. And by that, I mean he was 0-for-7 from beyond the arc. In the first game, he could not hit a three. That and do you remember, actually, Jay, if you have it, I'm not sure if you can find it. Do you remember how he blamed himself? He said he was garbage in game number one and that this was on him. And so he takes credit for the loss, in which the Heat were able to rally and was really hard on himself.
That starts with me. Today I was horrific. Just very uncharacteristic by me. And this one's on me. And I got to be better. And we'll go from there.
So after he misfires on all of his deep shots in the first game and did not shoot well, he starts 1-for-6 in game two, but then finally finds his rhythm, ends up with 30 points overall, goes 6-of-10 from downtown. And I suppose it helps that you are playing to not just a national TV audience, but an arena full of celebrities from the entertainment world, from the sports world. Aaron Rodgers was there with a bunch of his Jets teammates. Robert Saleh was in the building. Roger Federer was on hand. Of course, Spike Lee, who's a constant, but other guys too, former Knicks like Carmelo Anthony. And so, and he wasn't the only one. I just happened to see him multiple times. There were a lot of actors and musicians there as well, because as much as this is a Yankees city, and by this, of course, I mean we're based in New York City, as much as it is a Yankees town, they call it, it's May. Doesn't matter what the Yankees are doing right now. When the Knicks are playing well, and actually sometimes even when they're not, this city has so many starved Knicks fans for some kind of success that they can latch onto. Even when the Knicks are terrible, the Garden still sells out for Knicks games, and the prices are outrageous. It's almost impossible to get into the Garden for anything that would be considered economical. And so the fact that they now have something to cheer about, I'm pretty sure the building was shaking. And the celebrities that show up, it's not just to be seen. It's also because it's the Knicks. And I'm telling you, they will run the city if they can find some extended success. And Jalen Brunson and his teammates, they definitely noticed.
Tonight it was a special night. The way the fans were, the way they kept cheering us on, and just to see all the guys who wore the Knicks jersey in the past come back, it's always special. So it's always really cool to see those guys.
Yeah, pretty impressive atmosphere. I'm sure that Heat fans, well, and Miami's got its own star power and its own celeb. So we'll see some showing up in South Florida, but there's nothing that compares with the Garden when it comes to the Knicks being good. And again, they just haven't had reasons to cheer for quite a long time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Josh Hart also nearly had a triple-double, so lots of contributions, even as Julius Randle returns for New York. As for the Heat, not only were they playing without Jimmy Butler, we already know that Tyler Hero and Victor Oladipo are out, but Max Strus ends up leaving this game. He was hobbled. He did play 25 minutes, I think, but he went to the locker room early. And so for him, maybe it's about just managing whatever pain. Let's hope it's not a serious thing. But yeah, for Eric Spoelstra, my goodness, you see the thinning of the ranks become even more emphasized the deeper they get in the playoffs. He doesn't know yet about Jimmy Butler. Really is up to the trainers. It's up to the doctors to determine whether or not he could go on that ankle. But he looks so uncomfortable on the bench. He absolutely can't stand the fact that the team is playing without him. And that this time it was the Knicks who came up with a big rally.
It was physical under there. A lot of grappling, a lot of blocking out, a lot of pursuing. And I think it ended up being 3 straight foul calls on us. But it felt like three yards in a cloud of dust under there, and that kind of swung the momentum, and then from there they took a little bit of lead, and it was enough of a cushion. We did fight back, but everything's got to go your way that last minute and a half.
Eric Spoelstra and the Miami Heat still get one of the games, though. So if you hear the old adage about if the goal is to grab one game and grab the home court advantage in this case, okay, you end up getting one. But there certainly was an opportunity there to be able to grab a second one. I think, depending on who you're asking, glass half full, Gabe Vincent likes the idea that they were able to grab a game there, though he highlights that, man, that we got our butts beat on the boards.
I think we played a pretty good game. They obviously are rebounding.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give Grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
A lot of those coming down the stretch, and they made some big plays in the final minutes. But I think overall we put together a pretty good basketball game.
Yeah, just it's stark to consider the number of critical players the Heat have lost to this point and are kind of hanging on by a thread with duct tape, for heaven's sakes. So yeah, it's not going to be an easy road anyway. But without Jimmy Butler, they lose rebounding. They lose scoring, obviously. Their best guy who can create for himself. But they're also losing major minutes. They're losing the defense, the toughness, the tenacity that Jimmy Butler brings. And he sets the tone. But we've got a tie series there. We will get the Celtics and the Sixers. Game 2 on Wednesday evening. Joel Embiid named the MVP of the NBA. And he cried, of course. It was kind of cool. If you haven't seen the video of the announcement being made as the team is watching, so it was on TNT, the team is watching the announcement, very emotional. And of course, they're all excited for him. And he does a quick interview on TNT. We actually had Ike Reese from Philadelphia, WIP in Philadelphia, join us 6 weeks ago, and he told us why Joel Embiid was the MVP in his opinion. So maybe we'll bring back that answer if we can manage it before the end of the show. So much we want to cram in. This is how it always happens on the Hump Show. 30 minutes to go here. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Right elbow, down low, melt out of the dunker spot, into the lane, hops between two defenders, back to Embiid, by the shoe, Embiid faking, leaning, underhand, right hand scoop, good, down the lane, boy, did he cover some ground, he went from outside the foul line, down low right, and get an underhand, right hand scoop, Joel in double figures with 10.
I still remember the conversation we had a couple years ago, I think it was 3-4 years ago, it was actually here in Boston, we had just played Boston, and you know, you guys were all on me about, you know, I got to be dominant. And, you know, to this day, I still remember that conversation. And, you know, that helped a lot and that changed a lot when it came to the way, you know, I went about my business. So thank you.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Joel Embiid wins his first NBA MVP award. Turns out it wasn't that close, actually. He got more than 70% of the first place votes. Nikola Jokic got a handful, but not very many. Giannis didn't get a ton either. I mean, he finished in third place, in a distant third. Jason Tatum was fourth in the voting. And then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of the Thunder, actually, ended up with a few votes, so he was fifth. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Congratulations to Joel. And the fact that he goes on TNT, Inside the NBA on TNT, and gives them credit for kind of lighting a spark under his butt. And of course, it's important to him. He's very emotional about it, but took it seriously the last couple of years and actually would campaign for it openly. And then decided this season he was done doing that. And instead he was going to let his play speak for itself, but also his teammates would do a lot of speaking for him. It's After Hours on our Twitter, After Hours CBS. If you haven't seen the Joel Embiid video from inside the Sixers facilities, definitely check it out. It's really cool. And then our Facebook page too. We're always glad to connect with you. We mentioned Knicks and Heat and the number of celebrities. I felt like every time I looked up on NBA TV, they were replaying the game earlier. TNT was as well. Aaron Rodgers mug on the screen.
Okay.
And he was there with Sauce Gardner, one of his teammates. All smiles. Looks like he's lost some weight. He's definitely cut his hair. Maybe he's even showered. I'm kidding. No, he looks like he has a new lease on life and a career. And when he did a surprise appearance on the Pat McAfee show on Tuesday, he was giddy.
It's been great. I mean, everything is new. It's like the first day of school every single day. There's new people to meet and got to figure out your routine and, you know, where the laundry loops go and you know, mail and cleats and weight room shoes and all the stuff. Everything's new and exciting and fun. I'm just pinching myself a lot of days. Just I can't believe you know, it's real sometimes. So it's been a dream for sure, just to be here. Definitely feel energized to be in the building. That takes nothing away from the 18 beautiful years I spent in Green Bay. I mean, that was like, how can you ask for anything better than that? And just such a special place to play. But yeah, 18 years in the same spot. You also get used to everything, and everything is just kind of the same old in a lot of ways, which has its beauty for sure. But with everything being new and embracing the change and the just the things that maybe aren't as comfortable as they used to be, has been a lot of fun. And I think everybody's excited to have me here, and it's been fun to meet all the guys. And as guys start to trickle in and get to spend some time with CJ Uzama today, who's an awesome guy, and Nicole and my locker next to Alan, so that's some familiarity there. But it's been fun to get to know the guys, start working with my cadence, and just kind of easing into it all. It's been a blast. And all the other things that the city has to offer. It's, everything's new and different and exciting, and I'm just enjoying it, man. I really am.
Giddy. Could not stop grinning on the McAfee show, and they were certainly egging him on. You look different. You look better. You're everywhere. You're an A-list celebrity. He's been to Rangers hockey games. He's gone to two, both Knicks games that they've hosted against the Miami Heat, and he's talked about Alan Lazard. He was there with Sauce Gardner. He even mentioned before one of these playoff games at the Garden that he and a couple of teammates were walking around and were shopping and grabbing a bite to eat, and that all of the Jets fans, really just New Yorkers who recognized him, were so excited to welcome him, even paid for his pizza. So yeah, he's happy because he's the center of attention and because everyone's so nice. Just wait until Jets reality crashes in, if it does, because it very often does. But he told that story. He also talked about Zach Wilson, how much fun they're having together. Called him Zach, of course, because they have a pre-existing relationship. They were friends. He's sticking around for voluntary OTAs, which I think speaks volumes. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Peyton Manning, also a guest on the Pat McAfee show on Tuesday. Because it was Pat's birthday, I think that's why. But they were asking him about Aaron Rodgers to the Jets and why he thinks this is a good marriage.
Let me tell you why I think it's going to work. The fact that he has the same system that he ran in Green Bay with Hackett calling the plays, he's going to be able to play so much faster. I mean, Pat, having to learn a new offense in your 18th, 19th year, it's almost impossible because you have to unlearn your old offense, right? You saw it with Brady. He goes to Tampa. They're kind of making him learn some different language. All of a sudden, week six, they're like, hey, maybe we should just call the plays that Tom used to run in New England. You know, oh, okay, let's try that. Boom, they go to the Super Bowl, right? Favre went to the Jets. He had to learn a new system. He struggled early. He goes to Minnesota. Same system in Green Bay, plays fast. When I went to Denver, they took my playbook and said, hey, we'll run all the plays that you like. Okay. We'll add some new ones. We'll work together. So the fact that Aaron doesn't have to learn a new offense, a new snap count, a new formation, he's going to play fast. He can use his incredible athletic ability. I see him playing well early next year, and it should be fun to watch.
Peyton Manning about Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. The Pat McAfee show was rocking on Tuesday. Good stuff. It's May, so no need to get too fired up about it, except don't tell that to the Jets, their coaches, the players, the fans. Reminds me an awful lot of how it was around Russell Wilson to Denver last year. There was so much anticipation. They talked about how it was a completely different atmosphere, just having him in the building, in meetings, on the field. I'm telling you, eerily similar to what the Jets are now saying about Aaron Rodgers. Let's hope the rest of the story does not play out the exact same way.
You know, everything's new and different and exciting, and I'm just enjoying it.
Everything, really, all of it, so exciting. It's so exciting. It's not a new face in a new place, but Bryce Harper got back on the field with the Philadelphia Phillies last night. So big night for Philly, right? You've got Joel Embiid winning the MVP, the break in between games one and game two in Boston, but also Bryce Harper returns a lot more quickly from the Tommy John surgery than anyone has before, 160 days away. And he had targeted, for some reason, he had targeted this series against the Dodgers. And so he batted third. He was the DH in the lineup, even though the Phillies got crushed and he went 0-for-4. He had the golden sombrero. Or is that four strikeouts? Okay, so he had the hat trick. He had three strikeouts. And it's going to take him some time, you can imagine. But still, good to see him back on the field.
I was excited. I mean, you know, excited to get back, excited to be back. But, you know, not the game we wanted to have, right? So just got to keep going, keep plugging along.
I thought the bat speed was there. I thought he was on a lot of pitches. I really did, you know. There's going to be some timing stuff and recognizing breaking balls and things like that. This is big league pitching, so. But I thought he was good.
Rob Thompson, happy to have him back. And I suppose the quicker he can find that rhythm again, the better for the Phillies. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I've already started answering some of your questions for Ask Amy Anything, so I'll get to more of those on Wednesday afternoon when I awaken and can barely get out of bed because I'm so sore. And I'm going to do it to myself again on Sunday. Hey, do we have time? We do. We have time for something that will make you smile on this Wednesday morning. Chris Vaughn, part of the Cowboys scouting department, was the one who got to call his son to let him know the Cowboys were going to draft him.
Hey, buddy.
How's it going?
Hey, it's going good. This is Dad. My phone wasn't working. Look here, man. You want to come to work with me next week?
I wouldn't mind that at all.
I got somebody want to speak to you. I got somebody want to speak to you.
I don't know when I've been speaking for everybody that's really in the heart of the Dallas Cowboys is standing here with a tear in our eye. We're so happy to have you on the Dallas Cowboys.
I can't thank you enough.
Well, what I really want to say, you earned every ounce of me being able to make this call. I'm so excited. There's just something magical about this moment that may be bigger than we even realize here talking to you on the phone. But you is now a Dallas Cowboy. Your daddy just handed the card in right here.
Yes, sir.
It's got him on it. Congratulations.
Hey, Deuce, Mike McCarthy, congratulations.
Well, what's up, Coach? I appreciate it.
I'll tell you what, I've been doing this a long time. This is so special for you and your father and your family. And if you can, if you could make sure you drive, so make sure your dad's on time for work, we'd appreciate it.
I can do that. I can do that.
Deuce, man, congratulations. One of the coolest things I've ever seen in football was your dad making that call.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
So proud of you and your family.
Thank
that is.
Thank you. We won't let you down. I promise you that.
Oh, love it. Deuce Vaughn, selected by the Dallas Cowboys with the 212th pick of the most recent draft. And his dad works for the Cowboys. And apparently they played a trick on him. They actually told him they were going to draft someone else. And then they call him into the draft room right before the pick is made. And he's the one that you hear on the phone there. So courtesy of the Cowboys, what a really cool moment, emotional moment. On that note, family first, baby. Family and friends first. Have a great Wednesday. We're back tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
If you are leading change, building a team, or implementing new procedures, Gonzaga University's online Master's in Organizational Leadership gives you the tools for success. With concentrations in change, global, and servant leadership, you'll get the most relevant training and education to help you tackle any challenge. Visit gonzaga.edu/leader and find out how Gonzaga's organizational leadership degree can affect positive change in your life and career. That's gonzaga.edu/leader.